The title of the message this morning, God Sends Light Into the Darkness. In darkness, and we're still defining darkness and light, but that's not but darkness that you see at nighttime necessarily. Darkness is also calamity and troubles and problems. And God sent His Son into a dark world to bring light. And He's the light of the world. But with that light, the darkness would try to extinguish the light. Or the darkness would try to prevail against the light. But it's the light that manifests itself brighter and brighter to overcome the darkness. And we have to overcome the problems and troubles in our lives. And that's why when He died, He sent back the Spirit, the causal illuminating effect in our life. In other words, to give fluorescence to that light, to cause it to burn sharper. In other words, a regeneration, a new way of thinking and seeing things. And as we read from the reading scripture, John, the first chapter, the fifth verse, "And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." The darkness couldn't understand the light. It didn't overcome the light. It didn't become an obstacle in our life. We can't allow the problems and troubles that comes into our lives to be obstacles. We have to keep searching and reaching toward God, because we're that ray of light that God has sent into the world. And we have to allow that light to so shine. But it's just not us. We have to see that our little light isn't the thing. It's the God that's our source that causes that light to ever shine brighter and brighter. If we look at Second Corinthians, the fourth chapter, the first through the seventh verse, which is our text this morning, it says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but my manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we have preached not ourselves, but Christ the Lord, and our servants, ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. It says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, had shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." So He had given us that treasure, which is the light, and it's placed in earthen vessels. We're just vessels that have no significance about ourselves. And we know He was a man with a form and no comeliness about Himself. Well, what God does, that when He puts His Spirit in it and works in a regenerating effect, it's like a diamond in the rough. It's as you work on it and polish it up and hammer and chisel, you fashion it into something that's of precious, precious, precious value. And we are precious souls in His sight. And He had commanded the darkness to shine in our lives, to come into our life. God's light, in other words, His salvation, has been made available to all, and that's during all times. For we know that in the beginning, in Genesis, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So we see anything God commands, it is done. It is there. Throughout the time of Ahaz, who we took this from in Isaiah, the seventh chapter through the ninth chapter, when he had asked him to ask for a sign or whatever, he had given him a prophecy. It was salvation plus a prophecy involved. And God's light of salvation has, as said, been made available to all during all times. It's not just a particular dispensation that He made it available. for the book of Titus, the second chapter, 11 through the 13th verse, it says, "For the free gift of eternal salvation is now being offered to everyone. And along with this gift comes the realization that God wants us to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures to live good and God-fearing lives day after day, looking forward to that wonderful time we've been expecting when His glory shall be seen, the glory of our great God." So we see here in our first point that that light is salvation. And that grace of God, the grace of God had appeared unto all men. Now, with that appearing, all men hadn't accepted that light. They hadn't searched for it, and God hadn't called them to salvation. So, during that time, at Isaiah, the 9th chapter, in the 2nd verse that we were talking about in Naphtali, in Galilee, in all those areas, it says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them had the light shine." Just like us in the world, we've seen the light. Christ is the light of the world. And that light has come in. But a lot of us are not drawn to the light because we're not light-based. We're based in this world. We're earthly. And God hadn't birthed us again. He hadn't caused that light to be germinated. In other words, that light is not bearing anything. And a lot of us are of this world and other things of the world. But like I said, He commanded the light to shine in darkness. And that darkness that it shines in is forever glistening for the children of God. But if we're not circumspect, if we're not one of the call or some of the call of God, that light is just a taste. And that light may be extinguished. We hear about it in the book of Revelations where He said that He'll take away their candlestick or their lampstand. Sometimes we can receive the grace of God in vain because we don't do anything with it. Like you said, a couple of us this morning disclosed on coming to church or whatever the difficulties in getting here. But it could have been some that would just call it a day and say, "I'm not going. I just ran into many problems and troubles or whatever." I heard someone tell another member the other night that says that they had made up their mind yesterday that they wasn't coming today. So sometime we can say ahead, if it rain, I'm not going. If this happened, just how hungry are you for God's word? Are you thirsting and hungering to get here this morning? Well, God's word is just an alternative to you. That's why a lot of times in our lives, we love darkness. We love where we are rather than the light and rather being illuminated and pull off the old man. It requires a death. So that light that shines, like I said, that grace of God is a common grace. It's a common light that appears to all men. It's not of a saving salvation. In other words, there's something else we have to do. All men know that Jesus Christ died for our sin. But all men don't have faith enough to believe. Because when you have that believing faith, it results in works. It results in good works. It results in the Spirit taking heed of the Spirit, start causing you to work circumspectively. I don't know how y'all appreciate some of the analogies that you hear preachers or the illustrations that they use or whatever. And last week we used one about eyesight, about being myopic, farsighted. And you haven't seen a baby in the womb. You know, that we don't hear much of natural birth anymore. We don't hear much of natural birth. In the Bible, we hear a lot of natural birth. There's a time and a place for all things. But with natural birth, that baby's in the womb being taken care of for that mother for those 9 months. But after a certain while, that baby begins to struggle. That baby begins to struggle, and it's time. Natural processes occur, and the woman's water break or whatever. And when that child is coming, it's coming. You can't prevent that. Well, when we're being born again, it's like that. We're coming. God had brought some forth. He had brought life forth, and it had come to a mature stage, a state of becoming. And that's what we are. We are in a state of becoming once we're born again. We're being regenerated. You know, the scientists and people study about chicks. If you break an egg and allow that, to let that chick out of the egg, or if something's produced for its time, it doesn't survive. It doesn't survive. That's why a lot of times premature babies don't survive or whatever. Because it's part of the struggle that gives it the strength to go through life, to do the things, to accomplish the things, that breaking away from the shell, that breaking out of the uterus, that breaking into life. That's why it says the kingdom of heaven suffered violence and the violent take it by force. When you're trying to press your way into the kingdom of God, it's a violent struggle. Satan's not going to let you go. The world is not going to let you go. The people in the world is not going to let you go. He's talking about finance companies and loans and everything. I had a finance company lady tell me that once before. Me and my wife, we were borrowing. She said, well, once we get you, we don't like to let you go. In other words, they want to keep you paying that bill, that they want to keep refinancing, keeping a hold on you because it's part of their way of life. Satan wants to keep you in darkness. And a lot of them, he had blinded their eyes and they have received the love of this world. The children of Israel had the love of the world in them. That's part of man's nature ever since the Adamic fall. That we don't like the light. We won't come to the light. No man cometh unto God. God has to draw him. There's none good. There's none seeking after God. But God causes that drawing effect to come through that light. But those that are comfortable in the dark, that love where they are, comfortable with their status quo, they're not struggling to get loose. They could be in a bad marriage. They're not struggling to make it work, doing anything that God would get them out of there, a change situation. You're in a bad home, on a bad job, a bad situation, but what are you doing to get out of that situation? Have you become complacent and apathetic and you've been knocked down so much that you stop trying to get up? You've fallen so much that you stop trying. You know, God has no pleasure in quitters, people that give up. He wants those that like the inopportune window, the one that kept praying and asking the judge for relief. He said, look, let this woman wear me out. I don't give her what she wants. Unless you keep hammering on the doors of God's gates, praying and talking and pleading to him, you won't get in. Salvation is not easy, and that's what a lot of people are looking at, easy religion, easinism. And God, like Jeroboam, he made it easy for the people that they didn't have to go all the way to Jerusalem to worship God, that they was going to be able to worship the golden calf and Dan. A lot of us make religion easy, and it's not easy. Going to God is not easy, and thus, that's why judgment comes. Second point is judgment. The light had came in the world, but the reason for the light was to manifest the darkness, to bring forth and cast out the darkness. If we read John 3:19, it says, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds was darkness, their deeds was evil. There are those, like I said, when you go to talking about Christianity, a true Christianity, they'll take the Jesus or the religion that this nation is following now because it's an easy believism. It's a non-sacrificial religion. You don't have to give up anything. You just incorporate Jesus into your life just as you are. It doesn't take death to self. It doesn't take repentance. It doesn't take turning away. But see, when the word is preached by God's preachers and it's sown in a way and it wakens that up in you that God had placed in you, that light, it sets you afire. And you start not liking yourself. You start seeing yourself darkly as in a mirror. And you don't like what you see. But the word of God, that word of God, if we study the word of God, because that's the light that's coming into you, the word of God. The entrance of the Word of God giveth life. That's what comes into the world. That's what comes into you. It comes by hearing the Word of God. That's how faith comes. But see, Adam and Eve had heard the Word of God and they disobeyed the Word of God. They heard the instructions of the Word of God. The Word of God is our instructions to life. They disobeyed His Word. John 12 and 31 says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me," he said, signifying what death he should die. So that's what we should see. And that's what I was telling you during all generations. The judgment of this world is at hand. As the sons of God, we should bring about that judgment by preaching the Word of God, by living in the light, by lifting up Jesus, and He'll draw them in. But as He does that, as the light shines, the prince of this world is cast out. That's what happens when light is manifest. It casts darkness out. That's what the whole creation is waiting for, the manifestations of the sons of God. It is drawn to that because that's what light does. Light overcomes darkness. The darkness can't comprehend it. Now, if the Word of God, if the gospel is hid, that which is preached, if it's hid from you, you can't see it and understand it, it's because you're lost. You're not one of God's children. There be many called, but only a few chosen. But you can hear the word. There'll be a lot of people that light is dim, that there has to be an action to brighten that light, to make that illumination clear. And if the gospel is hid, that's what Paul said in that 2 Corinthians 4th chapter, 3rd verse. He says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believed not." What happened? They didn't believe. See, that's what hindered Ahaz. That's what he's talking about in Hebrews, an evil heart of unbelief. See, that's what a lot of our relatives have. That's what a lot of our family in the home has, an evil heart of unbelief. Only God can detect that evil heart of unbelief. Man can't. Now, if you're walking in the light and if you're walking with God, He may start giving you a discernment to help protect you in whatever environment you're in. But that's the wisdom and the grace of God. That's growing in the knowledge of God. But there be many of vipers around you, serpents and scorpions, many of dangerous things in the world, and they're men. That's the most dangerous one. When that thing is in a body, the personification, that's what devil means. That's the personification of evil. That's the demons and things that are around us that are carrying the Word of God. But they're dealing, if you read that, how you end that verse, it says, they handle the word of God with deceitfulness and craftiness. And that's what's happening in this day. A lot of men are handling the Word of God with deceitfulness and craftiness. That's why the judgment is coming to the world. That's what I was telling you about this nation. We're seeing too many people handle the Word of God that are not converted people. God hadn't sent them. The light is not shining in their heart. So therefore, there's no conviction. There's no belief of God there. The preaching would only serve to harden the people's heart as it did Pharaoh's heart. You remember, it just kept hardening Pharaoh's heart to the point it says Pharaoh hardened his own heart. And a lot of hard-hearted people are right in our churches today. The more they hear the Word of God, the more it has a hardening effect because they're hearing it, but they're not doing the Word of God. If you hear the Word of God and not do it, it has that hardening effect upon you. Because to know to do good and not do it, that's even worse. That's even worse that you can have your heart hardened. See, Isaiah was sent on that kind of mission. You know, preachers don't like to be sent on that kind of mission. Jonah, what happened with Noah? Noah preached and preached and only 8 souls were saved. Now, Jonah wasn't sent on that kind of mission because the whole town converted when they heard the preaching of Jonah. But Jeremiah, he didn't have very many converts. That's why we can't love the world, because the world loved darkness. The world loved what it is. And then what has happened, God's preachers have been converted into Satan's ministers of light. So they're bringing darkness, that means the ways of the world, into the church by corrupt doctrine. A flood of corrupt doctrine is coming into the church. It's the light is there, but a lot of churches in Revelation, he was saying they must repent and he's going to come and fight against it because they're becoming darkness and the whole body is becoming dark by you allowing just that little darkness into the church. Isaiah, the 5th chapter, when he commissioned Isaiah, once he commissioned Isaiah, he said, go and tell this people, hear indeed, but understand not. See indeed, but perceive not. Make the hearts of this people fat and make their ears heavy and shut their eyes unless they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with the heart and be converted and be healed. You go tell them. Watch me perform miracles. Watch me do great things in your life, but you'll never come near being converted. He had closed their eyes so they couldn't see. The God of this world does that also. Satan blinds your eyes. If you love the world and the things of the world more than God, Satan had blinded your eyes. If you love God, say you love God, but you hate your brother, Satan had blinded your eyes. There's a many thing that the light is not shining through because you hadn't pulled self off. You hadn't came to God in his way. You having it your way. And that's what's happening in the churches now. They're doing it their way. And God's not in it. God hadn't sent them because he's not doing it according to God's word. So we see throughout the gospel. That's why Jesus began to preach in parables. Parables are dark sayings. They're meant not to be understood, but to those that they are speaking to. When he spoke the parables to the disciples and he said, Peter said, well, why do you speak to these people in parable? He says, because it's not for them to understand. See, some of them in church, it's not for them to understand. And it doesn't mean that we should deal in nepotism or favoritism or whatever. If my brothers or sisters or someone doesn't comprehend the word of God, it's not my fault. Only God can open up your understanding to understand the scriptures of the word of God. It may be something in your heart that's causing the problem. The word is being delivered, and that's why it doesn't matter who delivered the word of God. It's God that give it the increase. It's God that makes that light come on. See, how many of you have read or heard the word of God preached or whatever and heard certain scriptures, but it was one day sitting in your house reading or something. You didn't even have to be reading. You could have been doing something, but that scripture came to life. It was a rhema word of God. In other words, it just dropped right into your spirit, and now you see. Now you understand. See, that's God opening up your understanding. But just think, to have those countless experiences day by day, every day, all the time. In other words, you're constantly growing. See, because you can bring forth the word 70-fold, 100-fold as many times. Is how hard are you working? See, Paul said he worked harder than all the rest of them. That's why you have maybe 14 New Testament books from Paul. You see. Sometime you can labor in this gospel. See, a lot of us church members are not praying the way we should be praying. How many of us are praying for one another or remember things that the other members have asked for? And how often do you pray for those things? How often are you praying for the church's success? How often are you praying for the preachers? How often are you praying for people, saints all around the world? How hard are you working toward that in your everyday life? Are you going back and have fellowship? See, because we know not to associate with the workers of darkness, because that brings darkness into our life. But we have to stand as salt against these. And if the salt has lost its savor, it's no good for nothing to be cast out. Yes. So we must be that abrasive force in the world, standing up for God, giving that illumination of God. Only God can give. The illumination has something, the light has something of illuminating effect. You see, Jesus is the light of the world. Now, I'm going to concentrate on that, Sister Jackson, in just a second, because he's the light of the world. 2 Peter 1st chapter, 9th through 21st verse says, We also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. As unto a light, listen at that. Got me, D?
Gotcha.
Unto a light that's shining in a dark place. That dark place is your heart. It's inside your soul. It's shining throughout you. That word of God, search it in there, is looking around in there. Until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. So, it's the word of God that's rising up in our hearts. I had this in another. I give it to you in both editions. The Amplified says, so we have the prophetic word made more certain. You do well to pay close attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns, until it breaks up on you, until it wakes your consciousness, awareness of just what's going on in you, in with you, and through you. A lot of us oblivious to things that's going on around us. We're oblivious to the people around us. We're not aware at all. We're sound asleep at the wheel. We're going through life just nodding and blinking. But he says the flesh is weak. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. What we have to do is that spirit has to get strong enough to drive and to crucify that flesh. Drag that old flesh along. It drags it along. Listen at the Living Version. It says, you will do well to pay close attention to everything that they have written. In other words, to every portion of the word of God. For like light shining into dark corners, their words help us to understand many things that otherwise would be dark and difficult. That word, that written word of God. That's the sure word of prophecy. That's why when you see people casting God's law to the side and taking God's word lightly, some of it, we have a problem with those. And then they say, oh, well, we don't have to agree on everything. I beg the difference. If what you disagreeing with is wrong, you have to come to acknowledge that that was wrong that I used to understand and believe. Yeah. And that you have to cast that away. Whatever is not right, you can't hold on to it and say, well, okay, we all have a, no, Jesus Christ is the truth, the life, and the way. So it has to be through Jesus. It's no other way. Nothing else is inclusive of that. So we have to cast everything else off that's not like Christ. Cast it out. God's life-giving word must be implanted in the heart. You remember how I told you that circumcision of the heart? That implant, he gives you a new heart, a heart to understand his word. Isaiah 8, chapter and that 20th verse says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. 1 John says something similar. If they bring not this doctrine, receive them not into your household. That word, the law and the prophets, it has to be according to that doctrine, that instructions that they have, not the word of God. And now we have a lot of sorcerers, and they call them witches or whatever, or witchcraft. Not just different names, charismatic preachers, if you want to call it, that charm you away. That's great swelling words, and they can fill auditorium with thousands of people, millions watching nationwide, and they charm you with fancy words and nice looks and appearances and things. It says, if that message is different from the apostles, or their message is different from Isaiah's, it is because I have not sent them, for they have no light or truth in them. That's the reason the message is different. It's a lot that run that God hadn't sent. It's a lot of people that's preaching the gospel God hadn't sent, that's teaching the word of God. That's why I said, the darkness comprehended the light not, but there are a lot of lights out there that are like the moon. They try to reflect God, but there are many different moons. In other words, there are many different reflections of God that's not the true reflection. Yes, yes. That's why he's making us in his image and his likeness. There are a lot of other paths But what do he call those paths? He called those paths the Broadway. There be many go in at the Broadway. But we need to seek that narrow path. And that light that's shining on that path, that lamp that's shining.